Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. At the bottom of the hour, I want to mention that we're going to have Wynn Charles on. She's a very, very talented artist who's overcome cerebral palsy. We'll be talking to her a little about her inspirational story. But first, I have a very cool guest. He is a creator of an app that's really something that's really, really needed nowadays, and it's going to be something really, really cool once it launches. You have the ability to be able to send messages after you have passed away to your loved ones, and it's very encouraging to be able to say at least and, you know, leave something a little bit behind and to you know, make sure that your message gets across even after you passed. Eric Frommer is on with us right now. I hope it's Richard, your name at all.
Yes,
here,
that's perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks for asking that. Yes, well, thanks for having me.
Kind of, what was the idea of behind the app? What kind of gave you the idea?
Well, when I was a child, my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, had passed away, and I knew then something was percolating, and I had wanted to. From that age, I wanted a button on my headstone to push. So when I die, that when people would come visit me, they'd see an etching of my face and they'd push the button and I would leave a message for them. So I pursued that over the years, even as far as getting in touch with the Washington Copyright and Patent Office, finding out you need a schematic. And so fast forward through to the internet, and that basically what inspired it to leave messages your friends and loved ones, and to tie in from my childhood dreams, there'll be a QR code. Although it's symbolic, it can be placed at one's headstone, a final resting place, an urn, wherever, even if it's at home on the mantelpiece, and give one the ability to do just that, to go there and spend time with your loved one and scan the QR code and receive the messages left just for them.
Yeah, now, I mean, this is, like I said, really interesting integrated technology in terms of it. To be able to have an actual code that somebody could scan into their phone or scan into their computer and get those messages across. I mean, this is the first app that ever kind of does that, correct?
That's correct. There's been one or two around the world that literally one or two that kind of approaches this a theme. Maybe about 40% through and only kind of as a thesis, not in practicality. And so, yeah, we're very, very excited. And we want people to sign up at www.eternalmessage.org today. And it's a free sign up and you get to see the video, and it's a beautiful video, and try not to cry.
Yeah. Now, I think it's really kind of important for sometimes for people to kind of get that. I mean, I've seen several stories of people that know that they're going to be passing really, really soon, and they want to be able to send those messages. I know a football player that actually, recorded a live diary before he died for his son to watch, once he's passed, and all that as well. I think that's a really cool technology as well. And this is a similar situation where you could probably pass on, any kind of word of wisdom or, even just to, let people know who you were, even if they weren't, old enough to really try to know who you are. So it's really great and interesting code as well. And the cool thing about this app too, is the fact that you can actually, you can also be time sensitive when you release these messages. It could be on a birthday. It could be on, an anniversary or something like that as well.
That's exactly right. It's such a great notion. I'll give you a little hint about the video. A father really is, as we have done some focusing on military as well as others, we have a father who's leaving a message for his daughter, and you see that he's either deployed or he leaves the picture, he passes, and then the daughter grows up, and she's receiving the message on her birthday, and then she'll pass it on to her child. And so That really is the messaging. Speaking to your football player associate, things like that, leaving one story, there are living wills out there. And with Eternal Message, of course, you can leave videos. You can also impart pictures, images, drag and drop, and text. But we don't necessarily want to go too crazy. There's certain legal things. Certainly, one can leave their grandson a watch or jewelry or something, but it's certainly designed for whatever the person wants. And in my personal view, I think whatever comes from the heart, telling stories, you know, anything private, but it's so open. And so your friend who's the football player has the greatest idea.
Yeah, you know, and the thing was is that, you know, I think the question I had was the idea of capacity and how much capacity you have in terms of, you know, leaving some of these messages because, you know, it could always be that. But can you explain a little bit about that?
Of course. With all the testing and talking to many thousands of people, we've come to the conclusion that 2 minutes is enough for people to feel comfortable in leaving messages. Some people may leave a 15-second or 30-second, but there's an average of a minute or more. And so that data will be used. Basically, it's also going to be very, very, very affordable. And so we will kind of weigh out the balance on the server and the amount to take up. So basically, 2 minutes of data is all that's going to be required for a message.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And, you know, and this is, I think, right now, I mean, are we looking for a global kind of a situation where this could be available in other countries?
I love that question. I have partners called Sodio Technologies. They're great, great, great team, and they're in Bangalore, India. And, of course, their country looks at death differently than what we do here. And they love this so much that they do want to roll this out into their country. Here, we would like to roll it out in several languages, and we would like to be global. We just initially want to get the groundswell and have it out there, and hopefully everybody will love it. So I'll plug it again, www.eternalmessage.org. Go sign up. Let me ask you, Mark, when you first heard of this, what came to mind for you? Did you think of a relative? Did you think of a specific birthday you wanted to maybe leave a message with? Let me ask that of you.
You know, I mean, really, I mean, it's you know, just, you know, I mean, almost I could almost say that this podcast is almost like it'd be my legacy. But if I had the time and the opportunity to be, you know that I'm going to be passing at some point, you know, I mean, it would be nice to be able to send some messages to loved ones. There's no specific example in my case, but you know, I still have family members and all that as well. And, you know, but, you know, even just friends, I mean, friends that I don't necessarily see every day or some, you know, or friends that are, you know, that aren't nearby, you know, if you're in a long-term condition where you're, you know, you're eventually going to be passing, but, you know, just, you know, people that don't have the opportunity to speak with you every day or be able to visit you.
Sure.
With you, it's always that situation as well. And like I said, if I end up having a child, I think this is probably the most important thing too. I mean, if I end up having, you know, a son or a daughter, it would be nice to, you know, if something happened to me, to have that connection and to be able to say, hey, you know, I want you to know, you know, that I love you, and, you know, and tell them a little bit, you know, give them a little advice, you know, if I have not the ability to do it. So, I mean, that's what kind of intrigued me about the technology. It's just the fact that, you know, I mean, it's just something that is a very useful tool for somebody to part a message, you know, and
well,
it keeps you alive a little bit longer too.
Yeah, it's funny. It's my way of kind of living through. I was always been afraid of death, but not afraid to living through it, which I had on earlier notes. You know, it's funny, you should kind of, obviously you're out there on the air, and that is your legacy, and I'm probably much older than you. I'm not that old, but I'm a little older than you, and I guess that because the one and only demographic in discussing eternal message was, and even within my own family, is that there were kind of 20-somethings and late 20-somethings that didn't quite, well, you know what, I don't really think about that, so it's not really my cup of tea, which I respect. But most of those folks, once they realize that there are people immediately around them, and just like you projected a child in your future, and especially the military, when they look to the next person in their family, they say, you know what? Okay, so where do I sign up? And so that's the only demographic you kind of hit on a good note. But I'm lucky, in fact, that the technology is where it is, and it's really ahead of its time. I really believe that. It's just I can't wait to have people use it, and it's really the first of its kind to blend the human dynamic with technology and mortality, and that is a new frontier in this, at least getting the sense of communicating beyond our time.
And this is just a very first step into what could be a really cool technology. I mean, this could mm-hmm. into a fact where, you know, people will have longer conversations, or they may have things to do. And, you know, I'd almost give the Superman example when, you know, when his planet was lost, his father died, but there's that technology where he's able to interact with them and he can tell information or something like that.
Great reference.
History, but this is a nice first step in towards that situation. But, you know,
let me just jump in and sorry for interrupting. We've always thought with that, going back to the notion where you push the button on the headstone and joking with the internet, finger recognition as an example to a holograph, as you're bringing up. I mean, that technology can be, and it's probably there now, but we don't want to spend the money right now to do that part of it. But yes, that is an interactive thing. Superman is a great reference.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this is just a first step. And once technology kind of, once technology starts to catch up, you know, even I wouldn't even say even in the next 50 years, maybe even mm-hmm. quicker than that, just the way that everything is going with technology, that we could see something like that in the near future. But like I said, this is a really good first step in terms of that as well. And, you know,
the ability,
I mean, and you're talking about the millennials, but you can always think about some of the older people that are getting, getting there in the years right now. They haven't had the technology that we've had even 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
We are presenting to funeral homes and bigger and smaller, everything from the ground people to you know, mausoleum creators, and it's hospice and hospitals. The one issue that I've actually had about the elderly is that, and let me just do a quick shout out. My uncle Jack Lipsman just passed away. He lived in Las Vegas for so many years. He was a blackjack dealer at the Flamingo. Just passed away 2 weeks ago. He loved this thing. My aunt Gail as well. If you know Jack and Gail Lipsman, please go sign up. Cost you nothing. But they love this thing. And the issue that I have is that it'll only be ready in a handful of weeks. I wish it were ready 6 months ago. And a year ago, because the elderly I want to approach, but I don't want to do that until it's absolutely ready to go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's the most growing section right now. We're starting to get to that point where the boomers are starting to get to the point. And, you know, it'll be interesting once that starts hitting, how many people definitely sign up for your service and all that as well. What platforms are you planning on doing this? So I'm assuming the iPhone and
the Apple and Android, yes, Android
Apple.
iPhone,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I'm lucky. I have a smart team taking care of this. It'll be on both platforms for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there'll also be a computer component just in case people don't, you know, some of the older folks don't know. Phones as well as maybe the computer.
I'm glad you said that, because it's the design on implementation of it is elegant and simple and user-friendly, and it is designed for simplicity of use. And so the web page, by the way, once again, describes and visualizes everything about it, but the mobile aspect of it is very, very simple. There'll always be feedback from people who are using it, and we'll be organically making adjustments. If you yourself, Mark, have an idea about something that we can implement, we're going ahead and we're going to implement that for sure. So I'm not too worried. It's beautiful. It's just a beautiful, elegant, simple way to leave those messages, and I can't wait. I mean, I want to use it. I'm so excited about that, and yes, it's going to grow. But you'll see. You'll see. It'll be good.
Yeah, it might also be interesting, you know, when you do kind of reach out to funeral homes or whatever, if they have a, you know, a lot of times when you go to a funeral, you'll have a pamphlet or, you know, which, you know, outlines what's been going on in terms of what the, a eulogy pretty much, and plus what's going to happen during the ceremony. And you'd always have that QR code printed right on there. And if people want to listen in to what a person has to say, in his or her passing, that might be pretty cool too. So that could be something that could be integrated.
I love the eulogy. I'm writing a note on today's talk. I'm taking notes while I chat with you. But I love the eulogy approach. There is a point of purchase that's created for hospitals and for funeral homes. And so the real approach is that when someone goes and they buy a plot, it's not necessarily the most positive thing, but this can be offered and utilized when someone and the funeral home, to their discretion, can offer eternal message and make it present and known that it's there, and it actually turns a positive. And so when you go to buy a plot, oftentimes, like even in my own example, if I were to put several hundred dollars down and I have several years to pay for it, wouldn't it be great to leave basically thousands of messages for people, and then when it comes time for my passing, it just adds retroactively a positive to the life's big negative.
Yeah, I mean, especially when a ceremony like a funeral, where, you know, like I said, you ceremony there as well, and it's very, very, not very often that you get the opportunity to speak at your own funeral, but it might be something that might be interesting in terms of that as well. To have that opportunity to
love
it. Buddy and all that as well. So,
love it, love it, love it. Good idea, great idea.
Yeah. So we're rolling this. Yeah, we're rolling this out within the next couple weeks. Hopefully, once everything's kind of ready and all that as well, and everybody can check out the website as well. Any social media at all that you guys got going for this?
Yes, along with eternalmessage.org, there's campaigns on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm working with a great team called the Hollywood Trinity, and it's made up of a few folks who specialize in social media, public relations, and marketing. And so we have some things I have already in several publications, Demigoddess Chronicle, LAStory.com, and The Patch and Splash magazines. And last week did a great iHeartMedia interview, much like this one. And we are planning on inviting some celebrity to, let's say, the Emmy Suite Party, things like that, along with some humanitarian charitable organizations. We're hoping to generate and get it to go viral and make sure everybody knows that they could afford it and use it.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely great. Like I said, it's a great idea. I think it's very successful. And like I said, this is the first step into a very big, very big medium. I'm pretty sure you guys are ready to kind of, you know, take the next steps in terms of the technology once it launches. Obviously, with things like this, you always got to keep up and really start new. And there's so many ideas you guys can do as well. So it's great to be able to hear that. Anything else you want to add?
Well, you know, I honestly, this is my baby. I could talk about this forever. I just would hope and that your listeners, including yourself, Mark, go to eternalmessage.org and sign up for free. You will enter your father's name and your mother's name and your birthday, and that becomes your own. A special code is generated from that information, and you'll, of course, have to verify on your phone with the code, so it's all secure. We use Amazon Web Service servers and 24/7 monitoring, so you don't have to worry. And so if you sign up, you will see a letter from me, and you'll see the video. And we'll also tell you that the moment it's ready for upload, we'll alert you on that, and then you can start using it. And that's it. Please, folks, go use it and leave messages. I have a whole bunch I'm ready to leave myself.
Oh, I mean, that's great. And I mean, my condolences to those who passed for you. And
Thank you.
Hopefully, new app. More people can have the opportunity to be able to pass on their love and their messages beyond the grave, as it were.
Exactly.
You know, again, great best of luck to you coming up with this app, launching of this app, and maybe we'll catch up to you a little bit later on once the app starts going.
Well, I would love to come back and tell you the stories. I was invited back on my last show. Mark, thanks so much for having me, and hope to chat in the future.
No problem at all, Eric, and you have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care. All the best.
Bye-bye. Eric Frommer, everybody. You guys can check out eternalmessage.org. Like I said, really great app. It's launching within the next couple of weeks on both the Android and Apple markets. There's a couple of apps out here, but I think this one's going to be the most really inventive, and they've got a lot of backing, a lot of stuff going on with it as well. So it's going to be great to be able to have that as well. I'm going to play a little music before we get to our next guest, Wynn Charles, who's I'm really interested again in kind of hearing her story and how everything's going with her as well. So let's see, what do we want to play? Let's play some Clouds by Cruzmatic, and we'll be right back with Wynn Charles. Okay. Well, it was caused by Cruz Matic earlier on. That was Pretty Enough by Josie Milner. So those are all we'll guess. You guys can take a look at their interviews if you look on our page. Make sure you guys or check out iTunes or check out Amazon or wherever you get you guys' podcasts. You guys can check out old episodes of Somewhere in Vegas. Now my guest is on the line. She is a very talented painter and really inspirational story in terms of her art. She has a new book called I Win. You guys can check that out on Amazon right now. And on the line with us right now is Wynn Charles. How are you doing, Wynn?
Hi. How are you?
I am doing great. You know, how's it up in Aspen at the moment?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful up at Aspen. And thank you so much for having me on. And just one quick correction, if you don't mind me correcting you. I published I Win 7 years ago, so it's not new. It's not
okay.
New.
Well, it's new to some of us. So.
It's
but,
new to some
but,
of you.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, was it a late winter up in Aspen? It seemed like my native Montana was very late winter in terms of snow and all that as well, but. How was it up in Aspen? Were you guys suffering from that as well?
We are. Funny you should mention Montana, but we are. It was like winter and a hot June, and look, it's like, really?
Yeah, although I think so. In Aspen it actually helps with some of the business because a lot of skiers go up there anyway, but... But yeah, I mean, you know, with what you do with your in terms of your artwork, I mean, obviously spring has got to be a lot of inspiration for you.
Well, I was a self-taught digital artist from 2006 to 2009, and then I gave it up when I had a tragic loss in my life in 2010. And then I transferred my art to the art of writing books.
Yeah. Now, you know, kind of tell me a little bit about that inspiration in August. Was it 2010, I believe? And, you know,
it
kind of
was,
what...
Yeah,
kind of...
it that I had in my life. I lost my mom to meningitis. She went into the hospital with a brain aneurysm. They actually caught it, the brain aneurysm, thank God. But and then she became functional again. Her she was a little impaired, but I wouldn't say that much. But she got meningitis from hockey players. Hockey players came in to Swedish Medical Center in Denver, gave it to 11 families on the ward. I believe it was 11 families. We were one of the 11 families.
Well, that's sad to hear, you know. And, I mean, in terms of your art, let's kind of go back a little ways. What got you started in doing this, the artwork?
Well, I had a spinal fusion go horribly wrong, and that's what started me down the creative path of doing art. I decided that day when I had a really bad physical therapy session that I was not going to take my new injury out on myself. I was going to produce art for others, and then I did that until 2010 as a side hobby and actually made money off of it.
Yeah, now, you know, how was it to kind of be able to, you know, kind of pick up a paintbrush or a pencil and to try to start drawing as well? And obviously there are some complications with your cerebral palsy that, you know, sometimes you can't always draw a straight line or there might be, you know, certain positions you can't make into, but tell me a little bit about that.
Funny enough, you say that. I never picked up a true paintbrush in my life. I was using Corel Painter at the time on my Mac, and I was a self-taught digital artist from 2006 to 2009, and then I transferred all my art work to the art of writing, and as soon as I get my journalism degree, I'm going back to artwork land because artwork is something I enjoy and I need to get back to it.
Yeah, what, you know, the old piece, this is the last question we'll have about the paintings, but the old pieces, what kind of format did you use? Were you using crayon? Were you using pencil? Were you using paint?
Using a painting program on my Mac, which I taught myself how to do. And what I would do is take pictures and turn them into oil paintings and turn them into acrylic paintings and all that good stuff.
That's great. And, you know, and then you said you transferred over from painting to writing, although as well. What kind of writing do you do?
This is a new one for me. I'm actually considered a young adult novelist, and I wrote my memoir. I'm now giving that up and strictly focusing on young adult novels with a disabled twist.
That's great. I mean, you know, it's very, very few that have that kind of situation in terms of, you know, having people with disabilities in kind of things. Hopefully more of a main character situation, because a lot of times they're considered a side character or just, you know, just somebody that they decide to put in there. But, you know, I think that's very interesting in terms of that as well. I mean, how many books have you written? I mean, do you have anything published yet?
Trauma Wind is published. The YA novels, I have a couple novels out. And, yeah, the YA novel side, I have a couple novels out, and they're doing okay. I win it's doing better than the fictional novel side, but you can't make $1 million on one book. So that's why I decided to become a YA novelist.
Have you talked to any disabled people that may have read those read your books, and have you been getting any good reaction from it?
But it's more for disability awareness. It's not for the disabled necessarily. I use my cerebral palsy as a gift, not necessarily as a disability.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about, you know, more in terms of, I mean, is it inspiring for people to kind of overcome what you have? Obviously, you have really overcome a lot in terms of that, and have done art and now made your way into becoming an author. You know, have you heard anything from anybody that has kind of been inspired by the fact that you've done these projects, and, you know, what do you think?
When I read my reviews, they have said I'm very inspired by your writing, but I think it's more to bring disability awareness into society.
Yeah, now, as a writer, are you self-taught?
I was since the age of 23, I'm actually going back to school to get my journalism degree.
So with your journalism degree, are you hoping to maybe cover a little bit more nonfiction?
Yeah.
Maybe longer form pieces?
Exactly. I'm trying to use that journalism degree not only to get a job, but to get more in details with my books.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to see that as well. And obviously, you know, with the journalism thing, you can, you know, again, we don't see too many people that are disabled that are huge in the journalism business. And I think that's something that's very lacking. So I would love to see that a little bit more often. So that's kind of a good way to go as well. Did you go to college at any point, or are you returning to college, or is this something that you're starting off?
This is my second degree. My original degree is in education, and even though it's a certificate, it's not a true associate degree. This would be my second degree.
Well, I mean, that's great. I mean, and just to kind of focus on that and to, you know, just do it later. I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, think that it's kind of too late sometimes for them to go back to college or learn a new hobby or learn something new, or maybe take a different career path. But obviously you're doing that right now. So, you know, it's always great to be able to have that example as well.
Yeah, and I think I will always use my teaching skills. I am quite honestly stepping away from teaching just because of the paycheck.
Yeah. Now, with that in mind, I mean, you said that you were you're going to college for this. Are you doing online, or are you physically going to classes?
I'm doing online because, quite frankly, my local community college, they didn't have the degree I wanted, my second degree. They had my first degree, but I didn't want to go back and get an education degree.
Well, I mean, that's great. I mean, is there any other hobbies that you do outside of, you know, writing and painting?
I apologize for my phone ringing in the background. I do rock climbing. I do biking, and I do snowboarding as well.
Well, that's interesting in itself to be able to do that with this cerebral palsy and all that as well. I mean, that's really interesting, and obviously that helps you out in terms of, you know, kind of getting your body awareness there as well. So that's great.
Yeah, and right before this call, I was actually walking in an exoskeleton robot.
That's great. You know, is that something that was approached to you, or is that something that you were researching?
It was given to me. It was gifted to me.
And that was the first time you've ever tried it.
I've been doing that for 2 years. 2 years? 3 years, maybe.
That's great.
2 years, 3 years. No, but that was gifted to me, and it's not approved by the FDA, and it's my insurance doesn't cover it. Insurance doesn't cover alternative PT.
Well, I mean, at least it's a start, you know. I mean, you got to start somewhere, and you got to test it somewhere. And obviously, you can give your feedback into what that exoskeleton can do.
Yes, but we all wish insurance covered this. But I love it. But at the same time, we don't think that insurance will never ever cover it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, again, once you get your journalism degree and hopefully get a job, that might be a story you can pitch about the idea that they're, you know, insurance covering that.
I'm trying, it's funny you mentioned that. I just thought about that today as I was walking, and I'm like, I need to do something. I need to walk into one of these hospitals and talk to doctors with my journalism hat on and say, look, this is what we're doing. Help me help you guys, because it's getting nuts
I mean, have you considered starting a blog or maybe starting a news blog, you know, like that, and kind of doing some stuff, kind of an amateur basis?
I have a podcast, and people know that I do it. People know that I do it. And so I have considered starting a blog, but and there's ways that I could do it, but podcasting is really my thing.
Okay, then give me a plug for your podcast. Where people can people listen to you?
My podcast is called Ask Wynn, W-I-N, and yes, that's my legal name. And we'll get into that story in a minute, why I was named Wynn. And my podcast could be found on iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts, which is also Apple. iTunes is the desktop version. Apple Podcasts is actually a phone version. It could be found on Stitcher, Spotify, and all the other good places, so you guys on Android can listen to it too. It's Ask Wynn, A-S-K-W-I-N.
Okay, let's hear the story about why you're named Wynn.
Okay, let's do that. Well, my mom's mom was actually named Pauline Winifred, and at the time, I didn't know her legal name was Pauline Winifred until the day she died. I thought it was Winifred Pauline all these years. I knew my mom's mom. So basically, she shortened her name to Win. And when I was born, my mom loved her mom so much, obviously, that they decided to name me Win, W-I-N.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, you know. That is a very, it's a really cool name, you know, to be able to be called Win. At least it's not lose, you know.
Oh, I get that one 9 times out of 10. Jeez, I get that one 9 times out of 10.
Now, you know, where can people check you out on social media? Are you on social
people
media at all?
People can actually follow me on Twitter, and I'm under Wynn, W-I-N, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Charles, C-H-A-R-L-E-S, and people can actually tweet me. I do respond to my tweets, even though I'm busy doing school and doing journalism. I do respond to my tweets. They can actually listen to the podcast every Wednesday and Friday morning, and I've had fun with it, and hopefully it will go stronger and better.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear, and definitely, guys, tune into that as well. Anything else you want to plug at all, Wynn?
I just go support my books on Amazon. Actually, go support any independent writer's books on Amazon. And if there are any book agents listening to this show, please contact me, because I am trying to get my next book in front of an agent. So if you guys know of any agents out there, please contact me. And you're welcome to send me a text as well. My cell phone number is 970-618-8840, and I'm happy to respond to anyone that needs me to respond, and if they have an opportunity for me, please shoot me a text and shoot me what they need, and I'm happy to respond. And also, you guys, this is a new thing that I just decided this morning, that if you guys are writing a book and need a disabled character, please contact me via email or via my cell phone, because I want to help you guys portray that character.
I mean, that's great. That's great. And hopefully people will reach out to you as well. So definitely check her out as well. Great to be able to talk to you. And, we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully, we get some of those books out there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but best luck with the journalism degree.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you soon, Wynn. That was Wynn Charles, everybody. You guys can check out her books over on Amazon as well. Ask Wynn is the name of the podcast, so just take a look at your where you get your podcasts. You can be able to listen to her podcast 2 times a week. We will be back next week. I have a couple people that are wanting to be on the show, and plus I may get a comedian or two. I've been meaning to get some more comedians on the show. We've been, for a while there, we've had a really good string of comedians, and then we started with musicians for a while. I think maybe I'll start doing musicians and comedians for a while unless somebody special comes up. So you guys can check out the podcast every Monday. It uploads probably right after the show or the next day on Tuesday, so you guys can check that out as well. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/somewhereinvegas. You guys can download it from there. Usually about 10-15 minutes after the show ends, you guys can download the show, so definitely check that out as well. Follow us on Twitter at SWIV, at SWIB. That's short for Somewhere in Vegas. And also on Facebook, and you guys can get this podcast anywhere, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, anywhere where the podcasts are. I believe you can get this also if you ask Alexa. You guys can get the podcast broadcast that way. Just to ask Alexa, to play the latest podcast for Somewhere in Vegas, and you'll be able to be able to listen to some of the podcasts there as well. With that in mind, we'll be back next week, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And like I said, we'll have some guests on. I'll have that announcement over on Twitter as soon as I get that posted. With that in mind, we'll talk to you guys next week.